The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
118 rooms, half of them bedrooms, 33 bathrooms, a theater, and just in case, three bomb shelters. During the 70s, the federal government held it as a presidential retreat, but gave it back because it couldn't afford the $1 million a year upkeep. Well, the house is Mar-a-Lago. Now, if the government couldn't afford it, you might wonder who could. Meet Donald Trump, real estate man and multimillionaire.
Let's look. This is the great entrance hall to Mar-a-Lago. The tiles are from 1400, and they're ancient Spanish tiles, and throughout the house they have 36,000 of these tiles. They're each in themselves a work of art.
The first time you walked into this house, what did you think?
I couldn't really believe it. This was one of the great treasures of the world. It's considered the number one home far and away in America.
And when you see it, you believe it. Crystal chandeliers light the 60-foot-long living room. Seven antique silk tapestries adorn the walls. And the huge stone Italian Gothic fireplace still works. Mar-a-Lago has been for sale since 1980. The asking price was a cool $20 million. Donald Trump's deal for the 118-room mansion was nowhere near that price.
So he paid $5 million for the house.
Well, you said that. I didn't say that.
What did you pay for that?
Well, I won't discuss that on air.
What did you pay for the house?
Well, I could tell you that if you use the number that you're using, you probably wouldn't be too far off.
The rest of the deal reportedly includes $3 million for the mansion's furniture and $2 million for the beach, bringing the grand total to a stunning $10 million. If that's true, by Palm Beach standards, Trump got himself an incredible deal. So on winter weekends, Donald Trump says you will find him here, entertaining friends and family with a staff of 25, safely protected by a security force of 30. At the young age of 39, Donald Trump has found his castle.
There you go, Donald Trump's castle. That's from a news report in 1986, saying that Mar-a-Lago was for sale. I mean, they were asking $20 million through the 80s. He got it for cheaper than that because there were no takers. But a lunatic judge in Manhattan says that Mar-a-Lago might be worth just $8 million. They were asking for $20 million in the 80s, 40 years ago. But this lunatic judge that says Donald Trump is a fraud because he exaggerated the price of his properties, this judge says that Mar-a-Lago might be worth just $18 million today, 40 years on from the asking price of $20 million in the 1980s. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, the final show of the week. It's hard to believe we're already at Friday's broadcast. We, as we often point out, you can get to the live video stream of this show at trumpetdaily.com. You can also get to the live stream at our Rumble channel. Just go to rumble.com/trumpetdaily. And you can see it every weekday morning at 11 a.m. in the central time zone of the United States. And, of course, both of those websites, trumpetdaily.com and the Rumble channel, also list the programs on demand. So you can watch it after the fact as well. Lots to get to on today's show. We've got an update on the impeachment inquiry hearings. Those continued on through the day. Yesterday, we had a few clips from that yesterday morning, but there are more that we can play for you on today's program, and also a number of other things that have just kind of piled up. We've got a Bible study segment for the end of the show, and hopefully we can carve out some space for some viewer feedback as well. It's just I mentioned on yesterday's show how that Trump bought Mar-a-Lago in 1985. This is the last full year of Herbert Armstrong's life. That special report that you saw there in the cold open, that was from early 1986. So right around the time Herbert Armstrong dies, you have Donald Trump at 39 years of age purchasing this castle, this castle in Florida that you hear so much about today. Of course, it was raided, what was it, a year ago, I guess it was? And then, of course, you hear about all the events in Mar-a-Lago, Donald Trump inviting his closest confidants, his advisors, and so on, and how that it serves basically as a headquarters for the Trump movement. This is from Forbes. It says, Trump purchased Mar-a-Lago in 1985, turned it into a social club in 1995, so it became this resort. This judge, this lunatic judge, that says, you know, maybe it's only worth $18 million today. Like Don Jr. tweeted out, if it's only worth $18 million, then get me 10 of them. Get me 10 of them. I mean, my house, I built my house here in Edmond 20 years ago, and it's worth probably twice as much as it was just 20 years ago. This is Mar-a-Lago. He's buying this castle, basically, 38 years ago, and some lunatic, radical, communist, left-wing judge says that, yeah, you know, I know it was listed for $20 million in the 80s. It's probably only worth $18 million today. How do you even explain that? They don't explain it. They just throw it out there and say, Trump's the fraud. I say the judge is the fraud. How about that? It says here, you turn it into a social club in 1995. Signed a 2002 deed restricting subdivisions and so on. It says the property, which was built in the 1920s for socialite Marjorie Meriwether Post, has generated the former president tens of millions of dollars each year as a social club and through initiation fees, including roughly $10 million in 2014, $22 million in 2015, and $29 million in 2006. It's just generating all of this income year after year after year. The judge says, yeah, but it's only worth $18 million total. $18 million. They mock Eric Trump for saying, I think it's worth a billion or more. Well, who's farther from the truth? Eric Trump on this side or the judge on this side? And who does the judge think he is to say, well, for Donald Trump to say my property is worth such and such? No bank complained about it. All the banks that gave the loans to Donald Trump, I'm sure there were appraisals along the way. No bank has ever filed charges. You've just got some radical communist judge saying that Trump's a fraud, so we've got to confiscate his property in New York. I mean, look at how he overvalued Mar-a-Lago. It says here further on, during Trump's presidency, Mar-a-Lago became a welcome spot for politicians and foreign leaders, including Chinese President Xi Jinping and late Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. You think that's maybe upped the value of this property a little bit? The fact that he had these world leaders come in and visit at Mar-a-Lago? Do you really believe that beachfront property, this huge mansion with hundreds of rooms and bathrooms, you really believe that's just worth $18 million? There's houses around North Edmond here that are pushing $1 million. And they're just, you know, they're big houses for Edmond standards. But $1 million from just some ordinary house, not a beachfront by any means. There's no beachfront in Oklahoma. But this, right on the beach in Florida, Trump bought it 38 years ago. And here comes some judge to say, you know what, it's really not worth that much money. Really? In the Biden economy, it's probably doubled just in the last couple years. The history is interesting. This is just from Wikipedia. It says Mar-a-Lago was built for businesswoman and socialite Marjorie Meriwether Post between the years 1924 and 1927. It says, at the time of her death in 1973, Post bequeathed the property to the National Park Service, hoping it could be used for state visits or as a winter White House. How about that? It's interesting when you just look at the history, as I say, and then the timing of Trump's purchase, right around the time of Mr. Armstrong's death. How much was God just planning? I've told you so much about America under attack and the prophecies regarding Jeroboam and Antiochus. I mean, God sees far into the future, much farther into the future than we do. See it as a winter White House, this woman thought back in the 1970s. It says, but because the costs of maintaining the property exceeded the funds provided by the post, that's her name, and because it was difficult to secure the facility, the property was returned to the Post Foundation in an act of Congress in 1981. So the government actually secured the property and used it during the 1970s, but couldn't continue with that because it was just too expensive. $1 million per year just for the upkeep. It says Trump acquired Mar-a-Lago in 1985 and used the 126-room, 62,500-square-foot mansion as a residence before 1994 when he converted it into the Mar-a-Lago Club, a members-only club with guest rooms, a spa, and other hotel amenities. Talks about how he had his private residence cordoned off in one section of the property and so on, and the visitors that he invited in during his presidency from 2017 to 2021. It says, after purchasing the estate, Trump did extensive renovations, adding a 20,000-square-foot ballroom. I wonder if that upped the value somewhat, adding a 20,000-square-foot ballroom. This judge, this lunatic judge, says, yeah, the property's probably worth about $18 million. Says here, the club also has 5 clay tennis courts and a waterfront pool. His wife at the time, Ivana Trump, was put in charge of running the property. Says, according to financial disclosures forms filed by Trump, the Mar-a-Lago Club had $29.7 million in gross revenues in the period of June 2015 through 2016. The club had revenues of $25 million for the calendar year 2017, and then on and on it goes. It's a lucrative business. It's a property that actually brings in tens of millions of dollars every single year. I mean, some kind of investor looking at this would say, okay, if I pay a few hundred million, at least it will generate quite a large return. But no. The judge in Manhattan says it's only worth $18 million. And therefore, Donald Trump is a fraud. And we need to confiscate his property. And we need to put him in jail if we can. It says in 2022, Forbes estimated the value of the estate at around $350 million. $350 million. It says here, Forbes said the real estate experts outside of Palm Beach guessed that the place was worth more than $200 million. Brokers on the island thought it could be worth far more, with the most aggressive estimate coming in at $725 million. So they're pretty much all over the map. It's been a long time since I built my house 20 years ago, but as I recall, the buyer has a price in mind, the seller has a price in mind, and if I'm not mistaken, I think there's appraisals on both sides. And of course, every seller has a certain figure in mind. Every buyer says, no, it's not worth that much. Let's come in the middle somewhere. But for Donald Trump to suggest that his property was worth a lot of money, that is clearly fraud. So says this lunatic judge in Manhattan. Talk about a two-tiered standard of justice. So they get him, I think it was Tuesday of this week. There's no jury, no trial, no verdict, nothing. Just a ruling by a judge saying that, yeah, Donald Trump is a fraud, and we need to confiscate his property and to prevent him from ever doing business again in New York City. No wonder so many people are turning out in support of Donald Trump. They know, the American people know, how unfair and unjust this so-called system of justice is. as they continue to attack and to persecute Donald Trump for nothing. Moving boxes, exaggerating the price on a property, that's what they're getting him for. That's what they want to put him behind bars for hundreds of years for. Listen to this clip from Cy Vance. He's the former Manhattan district attorney who launched this criminal investigation into the Trump organization. Clip 8.
The walls are closing in on the Trump organization in a way that it has never experienced before.
The walls are closing in. We've heard that a few times before. The walls are closing in as never before. This is that New York, I read this the other day, but it's worth repeating just a few of these points from the New York Times. Judge rules Trump committed fraud, stripping control of key properties. This is from a couple days ago. Again, no jury, no trial, no verdict, just some judge, just some radical left-wing judge that says Trump is guilty because, well, he's Trump. A New York judge ruled on Tuesday that Donald J. Trump persistently committed fraud by inflating the value of his assets and stripped the former president of control over some of his signature New York properties. As I say, no banks complained. No banks filed a lawsuit. The banks were happy. They give the loan to Donald Trump. Donald Trump pays back the loan. Everybody's happy. Everybody makes money. But here comes the judge, and the New York Times says this, the surprising decision, it's surprising, even the New York Times says this, the surprising decision by Judge Arthur F. Engoron is a major victory for Attorney General Letitia James. She's the one who campaigned on the Get Trump platform. If I get voted in as Attorney General, I'm going to go after Trump. And she's followed through on that promise. It says Letitia James in her lawsuit against Mr. Trump effectively deciding that no trial was needed. That's what the judge did. He said, hey, we don't need a jury trial. We don't need anything here. I've just decided he's a fraud. This is what it's like to live in places like Venezuela and Cuba and Russia and the communist China government in Beijing. A lawyer for Mr. Trump indicated that he would likely appeal the decision, which he called outrageous and completely disconnected from the facts and governing law. Further on, it says, while the trial for damages will determine the size of the penalty, Judge Engoron's ruling granted one of the biggest punishments Ms. James sought, the cancellation of business certificates that allows some of Mr. Trump's New York properties to operate. So they canceled his business certificates, and then they go after the attorneys as well. I mentioned this on the program the other day. I think that's further on in the article. In any event, here's I forget the name, Cohen, you know, the guy that used to work for Trump as an attorney. He's now flipped. And now he's on the talk shows talking about how to really go after Donald Trump. Listen to this exchange, clip 9.
Donald Trump's still in business in the state of New York after this ruling and what the judge ruled about his business certificates?
The answer is no, because what ultimately happens is the attorney general will cease to allow those companies to exist by pulling the licenses, by pulling its license to be active in the state of New York. So all of those assets will end up going into some form of a receivership. And as a result of the receivership, the companies will end up getting liquidated. If you really want to get to Donald, the way to do it is through his bank book, not by saying, oh, he's a narcissistic sociopath or, you know, look at, he's definitely not 6'3 and he's not 215 pounds. You go after the wallet. Once you start hitting that bank book, that's what really gets to him.
That's Cohen there. Michael Cohen, there's his name. Saying the quiet part out loud. look, if you really want to go after Donald, go after his pocketbook, his bank book, and then you can begin to take him down. You see? That's what the objective is. Anything to take out Donald Trump. Get Trump. That's the movement. That's the objective. Isn't it amazing how one radical judge can make such massive decisions? The New York Times says here, the judge levied sanctions on Mr. Trump's lawyers for making arguments that he had previously rejected. He ordered each to pay $7,500, noting that he had previously warned them that the arguments in question bordered on being frivolous. So he slaps sanctions on Trump's attorneys for making, in his mind, frivolous arguments. It says here, Ms. James started investigating Trump in March of 2019 and filed a lawsuit against him in September, accusing him of staggering fraud. And like we've seen so often, all it takes is finding one judge, one radical judge, and you can really persecute someone. You can even, if it weren't for Trump's resources, he'd be destroyed by now. But he's got valuable properties like Mar-a-Lago and like his many hotels and casinos and golf courses and so on. Sundance said this over at Conservative Treehouse. This is John Galt level government targeting. A New York State judge has arbitrarily ruled, no trial, no jury, that President Trump overvalued his real estate holdings in New York, which means he paid too much in taxes in order to secure financing and loans. You know, why would you overvalue your holdings? You wouldn't want to pay more in property taxes. That's really what this judge is saying. All the banks and lenders did their own due diligence on the financing. They had their appraisers look at it. The owner says, you know what? I think my house, if I went today and said, you know, I think my house is worth such and such, and some buyer comes along and says, no, it's not worth that at all. Well, you get some appraisers in the middle there, and then you come to a compromise, an agreement. But neither party's guilty of fraud. How ridiculous. This is the kind of thing they go after Donald Trump for. Just like with moving boxes or the clerical error on the bookkeeping. Same thing. It says here, there were no defaults or banking interests adversely impacted. There are no victims of what the state calls fraud. Yet the judge is ruling that the Trump Organization must dissolve all businesses interests or business interests in the state and exit within 10 days. Who are the victims here? I mean, that right there tells you how much of a fraud this whole case is. Who was hurt by this? Who are the victims? Who did Trump cheat? If the banks aren't complaining, I mean, who are the ones that got hurt by these transactions? Nobody. It says New York Attorney General Letitia James campaigned for office with promises to target the Trump Organization and Donald Trump himself. This is malicious lawfare in the extreme. He's exactly right. Donald Trump responded on Truth Social when this news came down on Tuesday of this past week. He said, the widespread radical attack against me, my family, and my supporters has now devolved to new un-American depths at the hands of a deranged New York State judge doing the bidding of a completely biased and corrupt prosecutor, Letitia James, who ran for office based on a Get Trump platform before even knowing anything about me. Just Get Trump. Today's action is again, this happened Tuesday. Today's action is a refutation of my status as a leading candidate for President of the United States, including with a substantial lead over Joe Biden. It is a terrible reminder that the radical left Democrats will stop at nothing in trying to prevent me and the American people from winning the 2000, 2024 presidential election. He goes on and talks about how the judge, the corrupt judge, valued the Mar-a-Lago property at $18 million, which is just, I mean, that is insanity of the highest order. $18 million for this beachfront property, this mansion, this palace right there on the beach in Florida. Yesterday on the show, I mentioned that quote in America Under Attack where we talked about the pause in Jeroboam's reign. This is according to a prophecy in Amos 7, and how that God basically just speaks of Jeroboam throughout that prophecy as if he's not even out of office, because God sees what happened. He saw what happened in 2020. He knows the election was stolen, and the way God views it, he sees Donald Trump as the legitimate president, the rightful president of the United States. And so there he is, dwelling in the winter White House, as the original owner of Mar-a-Lago viewed that estate. This is from the January 2021 Trumpet Magazine. Again, if you haven't subscribed to the Trumpet Magazine, if you'd like to get tomorrow's news today, just call our operators and request a free one-year subscription. There's no cost, no obligation. The 800 number, it's 1-866-930-3024. You can also get to all of our free material at our website, thetrumpet.com. This is from the Trumpet Magazine, the print version, back in January of 2021. It says, looking at this modern-day Jeroboam, you have to say God gave Israel a savior, at least to the extent that he wouldn't let these enemies bring down the nation. It says Donald Trump has been blocking this movement to blot out the name of Israel, which includes America, from under heaven. It says, and I read this to you yesterday, but it says, is his job finished? No, it isn't. So I don't believe at all that he will depart from the scene. I still believe these prophecies are 100% accurate. And then this, I didn't read this part yesterday. It says, this means this nation is about to be shocked. I believe you are going to see frauds exposed like you've never even imagined. I played the clip for you yesterday from Donald Trump, that rally he had the other night, where he said, you know, this is essentially my second term. I'm not claiming, you know, all the results of the Joe Obama administration, but I'm the rightful president. That's essentially what he meant. And as my father has said, you know, God allowed what happened in 2020 in order for the corruption, the evil, the sickness to be exposed. And it certainly has been. It says, in a sense, you could say the left, the radical left, is fighting against God and God's prophecy. Who do you suppose will win that battle? It says, in fact, prophecy shows that many earth-shaking events are certain to happen in the next few years. We're going to see things unfold that will astound us perhaps every week. That's really where we are. I mean, this was written 2.5 years ago. And now it's just like every week there's an earth-shaking event. There's exposure. The furious light of day is shining on all of this filth, this corruption, this treason. It says here, I don't know exactly how this will play out, but I believe God is allowing it to happen this way to ensure that the evil and corruption in America are exposed. See, God allowed it to happen this way because he wants to expose the evil. It says further on, I did give you part of this yesterday. We all must realize that no politician can save America. The Republicans cannot save the nation. President Trump can't. Only God can. We must see him at work in what is happening here. He's going to use these events to expose the evil and corruption in America, and he will ensure that every one of his prophecies is fulfilled. Just watch. You know, just sit back and watch what unfolds. God is involved. He's engaged. He's allowed certain things. He's certainly intervened where necessary. His prophecies are sure. The Apostle Peter even referred to the sure word of Bible prophecy. Again, if you don't have this book in your library, this really needs to be a centerpiece in your library. If you don't have one, make sure you call our operators and request America Under Attack. The 800 number, 1-866-930-3024. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
What has happened to the United States of America? The wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history is suddenly divided, weakened, radical. The evil in America has grown powerful. The good has grown weak. The honorable parts of American history are succumbing to a direct, targeted, sustained assault. Someone, something is dismantling America's history, purpose, and character.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Political dysfunction, social strife, economic peril, catastrophic moral failure, fires, attacks, riots, lies. The nation is being attacked from within by its own leaders. Powerful elites in government, journalism, academia, and beyond are intentionally, rapidly destroying what America is in order to make it into something else. There is a reason why your nation is crumbling before your eyes. There is a spirit and a specific perpetrator that is attempting to blot out America. Only America Under Attack reveals that perpetrator and the motive and spirit behind him. This newly expanded book shows you the reason why America has changed so dramatically, so suddenly. If you're confused and concerned about what is happening to America, request your free copy of America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury at thetrumpet.com.
For my colleagues on the other side, we're going to start talking evidence now. This is the WhatsApp text message between Jim Biden and Hunter Biden. In this text message, it clearly says, anyway, we can talk later, but you've been drawn into something purely for the purpose of protecting dad. Do you think that this text message would lead this committee to get further information about the business dealings of Hunter Biden and how that actually links to Jim Biden, the president's brother, and why they are so concerned with protecting dad, a.k.a. Joe Biden, a.k.a. the president of the United States?
Yes.
This is a text message between Hunter Biden and Naomi Biden. And this one is a famous one. Everybody knows this one. This is a famous one that says, I hope you all do what I did and pay for everything for this entire family for 30 years. It's really hard. But don't worry, unlike Pop, I won't make you give me half your salary. Mr. Dubinsky, if you saw a text message like this in a potential money laundering operation or a potential pay-for-play operation, would you be looking for information related to money going from son to father?
Absolutely, without a doubt.
Ladies and gentlemen, this one is from 2018. This is about 4 months before Joe Biden launched his campaign for president of the United States, December 2018. The highlight is, this is a text message between Jim Biden and Hunter Biden. Jim Biden says, this can work. You need a safe harbor. I can work with your father alone. It'll probably take several months and everybody can read the text. Ms. O'Connor, Mr. Dubinsky, if you saw a text message like this between the president's brother and the president's son, wouldn't you be concerned about them trying to give plausible deniability for the president of the United States to not have any knowledge of said business dealings?
It's worth...
Gentlemen's time's expired, but please answer the question.
It's worth investigating.
Mr. Dubinsky?
I would agree. I would investigate this.
Representative Byron Donalds yesterday, as he grilled some of the, he wasn't grilling them. They were witnesses that were just there to say, yeah, we should investigate this. Going through the text messages from Joe Biden to Jim Biden to Hunter Biden, pay to play, going on in 2019, even leading into Joe Biden's run for president. And then, of course, as we've covered earlier this week, receiving all that money from the CCP, Jonathan Lee, $260,000 that went to the home address of Joe Biden, the big guy, assuming he's the big guy. But he got a pretty big cut. So said Hunter. Hunter said it. Listen to Representative Nancy Mace in those hearings yesterday, clip three.
I'm going to show another image. This is a text message between Hunter Biden and Gongwen Dong, an agent of CEFC. Hunter says, my uncle will be here with his brother, in all caps, who would like to say hello to the chairman. He goes on, Jim's brother, if he's coming, wants to say hello. His uncle's brother. I wonder who that could be. I can't quite figure it out. Hunter puts brother in all caps, and it doesn't take a genius to figure this out, but since I'm not always dealing with geniuses, and Washington, D.C. has been illustrated today, I'll spell it out. The brother of Hunter's uncle, Jim, is Joe Biden. Why was Hunter so secretive about his father? I'm going to tell you why. It's because Joe Biden didn't want the American people to know he and his family were getting paid millions and millions of dollars from a company closely tied to the Chinese Communist Party.
Can you imagine if any of this, if they had any of this, if Democrats had any of this on Donald Trump Jr., Eric Trump, anyone in the Trump family? Can you imagine if there was millions and millions of dollars being funneled into nine different members of the Trump family coming in from China and Kazakhstan and Ukraine and Russia? I played the clip for you yesterday. 23 different countries on four continents, 20 LLCs, 20 of these shell companies so that they could launder the money. The money comes through to Hunter and others. Hunter doesn't even pay taxes on a big chunk of his money, his income. And they give him a little slap on the wrist. They wanted to give him a plea deal to just make everything go away. The tax evasion, you know, the gun crime, all the drugs, the prostitution, the money laundering. Everything was going to go away until that plea deal blew up. And then just this week, we find out about the $260,000 that went to the Joe Biden Wilmington address in Delaware. $260,000 coming from the CCP. So there's a couple of Republicans. And again, the Republicans have had their problems, as Matt Gaetz has pointed out. And we'll see if anyone's even held to account here. But at least they're, you know, trumpeting the truth about what happened. At least they're exposing this corruption. And then you've got the Democrats on the other side just having a complete meltdown and going on and on about how that there's no corruption here. There's no proof. The only thing that this proves is how much Joe Biden just loved Hunter Biden. Listen to this montage, clip 12.
The impeachment inquiry, any impeachment inquiry, regardless of party, is an extremely serious matter. Are there any key material fact witnesses here today?
No, ma'am.
None. And so we are wasting our time. This is an embarrassment. An embarrassment to the time and people of this country.
This entire fake impeachment inquiry isn't about the United States. It's about Hunter Biden. And the only thing the president can be guilty of here is being a father.
This illegitimate impeachment inquiry that is not going to yield a scintilla of evidence that President Biden engaged in any wrongdoing, because there is no evidence.
But I will tell you what the president has been guilty of. He has unfortunately been guilty of loving his child unconditionally, and that is the only evidence that they have brought forward. And honestly, I hope and pray that my parents love me half as much as he loves his child. Until they find some evidence, we need to get back to the people's work, which means keeping this government open so that people don't go hungry in the streets of the United States. And I will yield.
Wow, so she's really concerned about the hungry of the United States, this woman. Not sure who she is, but the only thing that Joe Biden is guilty of is love. He just loves his family, and we're concerned about the hungry, so say the Democrats, as they do everything that they can to try to stonewall this investigation. Speaking of the hungry, this is what, going back to AOC, I saw a comment from her yesterday where she said she was arguing, basically, can Hunter Biden even be considered a reliable witness? Because, well, at the time, he was a crack addict. Can you imagine? Like, okay, he gets immunity because, well, he was smoking crack. So he can't be a reliable witness. And then where are the Republicans, as I've said this week? Where are the subpoenas? It's great that the hearing's off and running. Okay, we'll give them credit for that. But where are the subpoenas for these criminals, these crack addicts? That's right. Pull them in before the committee. That's what all these Democrats would have done. As Matt Gaetz pointed out earlier this week, we played that clip for you as well. They get power, and Don Jr., he's dragged before the committee, not once, not twice, three times. Three times. Where is Hunter? So they care about the hungry. We're just trying to help the homeless here. Why do we have these proceedings going on when we've got all of this hunger in the streets? Look at what AOC had to say about shoplifters the other day. This is moving ahead to clip 7.
And so they go out and they need to feed their child and they don't have money. So you maybe have to, they're put in a position where they feel like they either need to shoplift some bread or go hungry that night.
Yeah, or maybe shoplift the liquor from the liquor store, like we saw from the looting earlier this week in Philadelphia. And here she is, this woman, who said she nearly lost her life in the January 6th protest, even though she's like a half mile down the road from the most intense activity. She was screaming, "I'm a victim! I nearly got killed!" And now she's there defending shoplifters, looters, rioters. As long as they come from the left wing, I mean, they're to be praised and defended, even. Defended! They need food. It's just like the woman on the street filming the looting as they were emptying out the shelves of the liquor store, saying, "We gotta eat! Everybody's gotta eat!" Talked about that on Wednesday's program. It's an upside-down world, that's for sure. Well, what else do we have time for here? We have other clips. Let me just play, this is a little bit off topic. Let me just play this clip from Mark Milley. He's the outgoing chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He's making the rounds now. Now that he's moving on, he's got to stab Donald Trump in the back just a few more times if he can. Listen to this one, clip 4.
President Trump recently said that your dealings with China were so egregious that in times gone by, the punishment would have been death.
That's right, he said that. Mm-hmm. That's correct.
But for the record, was there anything inappropriate or treasonous about the calls you made to China?
Absolutely not. Zero. None.
It almost seems odd to ask this question because the former commander-in-chief seems to be calling for your execution. Are you worried about your safety?
I've got adequate safety precautions. I wish those comments had not been made, but they were, and we'll take appropriate measures to ensure my safety and the safety of my family.
Right. It's Mark Milley who's in grave danger. 4 years, nonstop. Decapitate Trump, blow up the White House. All of those threats. Threats that the DOJ never really followed up on. Kathy Griffin, did they ever go after her for holding up the severed head of Donald Trump? Or what about the play in Central Park in New York where they were, instead of stabbing Caesar, they were stabbing Donald Trump to death! And he was the sitting president of the United States. Notice how the reporter there twists and manipulates what Donald Trump actually said. He said, "Hey, in times past, I mean, you pick up the phone and you start talking to China behind the president's back. That's treason. You would have been executed a century or two ago. And the reporter says, the reporter takes that and says, Donald Trump says you should be killed. These people are so corrupt. The narrative, the twist, the spin. And then Milley, of course. He's a hero. He basically came out, talked about the coup, the military coup he led against the United States, the insurrection, right from the Pentagon. And he brags about it, this guy. And of course, 60 Minutes, they just love to sit down with guys like this. If it can get Trump, you see, that's their primary objective. You see what Trump is going up against. You see how that there's no helper, as we've noted so many times before. I mean, that's discussed at length in America Under Attack. That prophecy in 2 Kings 14, no helper, the affliction so bitter, and yet God does say that Jeroboam administration is coming back. We'll take a short break and then we'll conclude today's program with viewer feedback. Feedback coming from you. You're listening to Stephen Fleury and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical, but world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are we living in the last days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com.
If you'd like to email the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. Don't forget about our Rumble channel. Just go to rumble.com/trumpetdaily. You can get to our channel. You can leave some comments after the show or get involved in the live chat during the live stream. And also, if you're at the Rumble channel, make sure that you give us the thumbs up. The thumbs up Rumble, I guess, is what they call it. My Twitter handle, or the X handle, that's at Stephen Fleury, Stephen with a PH, at Stephen Fleury, and you can follow our feed where we oftentimes post some of the montages, some of the clips that we play on this program. A few emails that have come in response to the show in recent days. This one here says, and just like that, the Trumpet Daily has transitioned above to a whole other level. It says even people of status can't help but notice. Some high praise from one of our viewers. Good to hear. It says here in another one, fantastic TD as usual today. Loved the cold open. Looking forward to future riveting episodes. That's in response to yesterday's show. I think we had the Secretary of State playing his guitar, offering a free concert there at the State Department. Another one here says, good morning, all. I just watched the last couple segments of Monday's TD and just wanted to tell you what an amazing promo you made there between the God's work in 2023 and the listener feedback. It says, I hope we can put that to good use as an advertisement for TD in different ways, online, TV, link on news sites, just however possible. It says it certainly gets your attention. Well done. It's also exciting to see other news podcasters using our clips. We're definitely getting out there. We've certainly gotten some good publicity in recent months, whether it's because of the interviews we've had recently or just some of the montages that have been picked up by some conservative sites. Another one here says, thank you for another episode of this is the truth. Maybe we should rename the show instead of the Trumpet Daily. This is the truth. It says here, every time I watch the TD, which is almost every time it's on, my bold battery is charged, always encouraging, uplifting, informative, and thought-provoking. I promote all PCG-related posts on Twitter. Well, you can do that. You can spread the word on Twitter or X. But you can also, when you're at our Rumble channel, you can share the program. In addition to giving us the thumbs up, leaving a comment, viewing the program, you can pass it along as well. Another one here says, great job, Stephen, and the rest of the crew. Your passion and zeal is palpable. I found myself literally clapping. I'm so grateful to listen each day and hear the truth told out loud. It says, thank you for telling it like it is and for exposing the deep level of corruption in our government, our leaders, the left, the right, the DOJ, and everything in between. Keep up the great work as always. This one here comes in response to the show on Wednesday. And as I say, you can get to all of the older shows at the Rumble channel and also at trumpetdaily.com if you just scroll down a little bit. But this in response to Wednesday's show just a couple days ago, it says, wow, you were fired up during Wednesday's Trumpet Daily, expressing passionate outrage over some of the many woes facing American cities, organized crime, and child trafficking in particular. Thank you for declaring God's righteous indignation over the head-to-toe evil doing happening across the United States. Another one here says, hello, have you considered that all these immigrants, young, strong, single men, are an army that could be conscripted to fight for the government? There's an interesting thought coming in from one of our viewers in response to the millions and millions of illegal immigrants coming into the United States. And most of them, as Fox reported just the other day, most of them young men, young military age men. That's right. It says here, another one, I can really see how evil is taking over our country. It's so obvious. What used to be subtle in the past is now full steam ahead, it seems. The only thing that gives me hope is that God has a plan for humanity. This one here comes in from Arizona, and it says, where we live in Tucson is about an hour from the border between here and Mexico. We have several illegals where we live. A neighborhood where we used to live not too far from here, about 25 minutes, there's a Mexican boss that owns a trailer park where he brings illegals in, gets them bikes, safety vests, backpacks, and it's so obvious. This boss wants them to fit in, but when you see them riding around on their bicycles to their jobs, it's very obvious that they don't fit in. It's very obvious that they're from, you know, out of the country. They're not assimilating yet. It says here, this next one, we are on a fast track to becoming a third world country. Multiple thousands of people who cannot speak a word of English and are non-functional in our society coming in like a flood, it says. I see them already here in Minnesota. Spiritual wickedness in high places, principalities and powers. I mean, it's spreading across the United States. It's not just happening in the border states, not anymore. It's touching New York, Chicago. This person here says Minnesota. Says here, I was recently given a work phone and I noticed that I had been getting anti-Trump text messages. This was eye-opening to see how hard the left is working to prevent him from reclaiming the presidency. Well, there's no helper, as we've said so many times before. You get the work-sponsored phone, and then here comes the messages. Get Trump. Get Trump. It says here, another one, I refrained from sending my emotional response to the show on Tuesday. This was from a while back. Just couldn't get into words about your interview with Carrie Lake. It was a show even more captivating than our great General Flynn's. Her eloquent way of declaring truth was inspirational and motivating, and her undenied family standing was greatly appreciated. Her acknowledgement of her husband's strength for her backing, her solid courage used for her children's protection during COVID lockdown, and so on. Well, the news this week is that She's about to make an announcement here in the next couple of weeks about running for senator against Kyrsten Sinema in Arizona. One last one here. It says, great to see a lighthearted show after so much intensity of late surrounding the Flynn and Lake interviews. Really enjoy hearing the feedback of others. Even though I still watch via thetrumpet.com, I still jump over to Rumble to give it a thumbs up. Oh, and like you, I too dig Tony Busby. That's the attorney that represented Ken Paxton. If you'd like to submit some feedback, just send us an email, td@thetrumpet.com. That's all that we have time for, unfortunately. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, or viewing. You are viewing Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Thank you. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for joining us all week. We'll see you next time.